and welcome back to another episode of the Azeem Digital Asks All-Round Digital Marketing Podcast. We are a few episodes into season 5 now, so I kind of feel like I've got back into the swing of things. But one of the things that I haven't done at the start of each recording, because I am a quilt, is remind you that you can also watch this on YouTube or Spotify video, as many of you do. So if you prefer video rather than audio, please do that. As always, please like, rate, share, and subscribe. Blah, blah, blah. The usual stuff that podcasters say. This episode is one I'm really looking forward to. We're talking all about, well, insights from my amazing guest, Katie, on being a female founder and basically breaking the glass ceiling. I'm not going to talk too much. I will let Katie give herself a proper and, more importantly, a better introduction to herself. But what I will say is that Katie is someone who we've been at events, at the same events, loads and loads and loads of times, and never actually spoken to each other for one reason or another. And finally, we made that happen not long ago. And as a result of that, here we are. So, Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I am very excited to have you on, and I'm sure that people have come here to watch and hear from you. So this is where I am quiet. For those of the audience who may not, shamefully may not know who you are, would you mind giving yourself a better introduction?
Yeah, cool. So I'm Katie. I am the PR director and co-founder at Bottled Imagination. I've been working in digital marketing for about 6-7 years, digital PR for around 3. Before that, I was doing more of a kind of traditional PR role. I've worked both in-house at TalkTalk and in agencies as well. So I started my career at Brass Agency in Leeds, which was a huge full service agency, and then moving into Rise at 7, and then now start my own thing with Bottled Imagination.
Amazing. And like, that's what we're going to be talking all about. So let's just dive straight into it. So the very first question, Katie, is like, what inspired you to be part of the founding team of Bottled Imagination?
Yeah, so I think I've been working at Rise for a while, was ready for kind of a new challenge, and sort of just thought, why not, really? I think I'd always kind of admired business owners. I think, to be honest, it kind of felt a bit maybe unachievable. It felt quite a massive step for me to take, and something that I kind of always looked up to people that could do it. And then we started talking, myself, Luke and James ran a lot of really successful campaigns together at Rise, and we sort of just thought, you know what, we can do this, and why not? So just kind of took the plunge, and here we are.
Amazing. And very recently you shared some stats, which I'll definitely put in the show notes, about how well the three of you are doing with the new business. So congratulations, and long may that success continue. Certainly for me, as I mentioned to you when we spoke, it's really good to see someone doing their own thing and making a success out of it. So I'm sure your co-founders will be listening. Keep up the good work, team. But yeah, look, I wanted to sort of dig into this a little bit more with you. So if you're thinking of back when you very first started, I'm sure not everything went smoothly. So if there was one thing that you could probably change about the entire process, what would you say that would be, and why?
I think it's quite hard to pick one thing. I think there's been quite a lot of challenges, and we've learned a hell of a lot, like so much on this journey. Like, I can't believe, you know, we've sort of been going for nearly a year now. Probably to be honest, backing myself. I think at the very beginning, I'm quite, I kind of can overthink quite a lot. And I think I kind of thought a lot of the reasons why it wouldn't work, you know, am I good enough to do this? Are we good enough to do this? Do we have the knowledge we need to do this? Is this a really stupid idea when we might be going into a recession? Hundreds of questions kind of, I guess, like why it wouldn't work. I kind of wish I could talk to me a year ago and be like, yeah, okay, yeah, but what if it does work? Like, just flipping that narrative in myself is probably what I would say. I think I do struggle quite a lot with imposter syndrome. So I think kind of putting myself in a position where I was like, okay, I'm going to run this, and trusting myself to do it has been a challenge. And I think at the beginning, it's obviously amplified. You're a startup, you're brand new, no one really knows you. I mean, some people in the industry know you, but obviously the industry is relatively small in comparison to how many people are, you know, the clients and everything we're kind of targeting. How can we make ourselves be taken seriously? So I guess, I know you've asked for one thing, but I guess the second thing as well was that kind of appearing established while we weren't. I think that's something that we were talking about actually this morning, like, you know, we're taking new business calls. It sounds so cliche and cringe, but like taking business calls from like my mum's like kitchen we actually had people like comment and kind of saying, you know, we are paying you for a service, like sort yourselves out. We're like, oh gosh, yeah, like we really do need to. So I think if I've already got that kind of, oh god, can we actually do this, mixed with, are we actually set up right, are we actually going to appearing like an established business, it was quite a hard period, which we've obviously ironed out now and it's all good now. But I think looking back, yeah, I think that backing myself, having the confidence to be like, do you know what, let's give it a go, would be what I'd change. Yeah,
love that. And it's nice that you've got that like sort of human element to it, because I bet not many people watching or listening to this would have known that you were probably in that position, like in your mum's kitchen.
Oh yeah,
taking
she
these calls.
She loved it. She wants the job now, but like it was really annoying at the time. And she like walks in, wants to put the cup, make a cup of tea, and I'm like, not now, mum. Like,
oh, I've just got visions now of your mum walking
oh,
past
yeah.
and just be like, oh yeah.
<There you go.
laughs> Oh, I just look. Let's move on. And one of the themes that I really wanted to talk to you about, which I'm glad that you agreed to, because certainly from what I've seen, number one, there are not many women in this industry, and even less women in like senior leadership roles or branched out or so, who've sort of done their own thing. So I really wanted to sort of dig into that and ask you from your perspective. So as a woman in a very heavily male-dominated industry, what would you say are some of the challenges that you've had when you've been doing this?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because I think, I guess it's if you look at SEO or PR, I think SEO is obviously very male-dominated, whereas PR, I think we're seeing more of a shift and a lot more women coming through. I think I've been really lucky, actually, in the agencies I've worked in and also in-house, that I've been surrounded by a lot of actually really powerful women in terms of leaders, but also my peers, which has really helped, I guess, mean that I've not been too scared of being like, oh, you know, I'm the only woman in this room or whatever, because I've been actually surrounded by a lot of women. I think in terms of challenges, there has been a few times where I guess maybe I felt like I've not been taken as seriously as a man would in that position, or that I've felt like I've had to speak a little bit louder for my voice to be heard, or that questions have been directed to other people when actually, you know, I can answer that question. So I think it's been a challenge pushing myself into the front as a woman. But to be honest, I've not dealt with that many situations like that yet. I guess we'll see what happens going forward. But I think it, to be honest, it's actually been more in my personal life that it's been talked about, which is quite interesting. I think I can sort of think back to a moment where I was at like a family friends party thing, and this guy said to me, you know, we were talking about work and I was talking about what I wanted to do in my career and stuff. And he kind of was like, oh, well, you're a woman, you're never going to be a CEO. And I was kind of like, that is the first time I've, you know, you obviously hear about people having these views, but he literally said it to my face. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, like, what? And I wouldn't say that that's the moment that made me go, right, I'm going to do this. But it really did make me think, okay, you know, you hear about these opinions, but he literally said it. So it's been more kind of being taken seriously in my personal life that I think has been more of a challenge. You know, it's kind of been like, oh, Katie set up this business. I think it's like, oh, how's your little business going? It's like, actually, no, you know, it's going really well. And it's not just a little business, it's doing well. And kind of, you know, would I hope you wouldn't mind me saying this, but like, would my brother have been asked the same kind of questions? You know, probably not. So it's been definitely interesting, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't believe that someone would
like,
firstly say that.
I was Yeah, I was gobsmacked. I was like, what? My mum was like, what?
And even awful. Like to your face as well, like I can't.
Yeah. That's bad.
Well,
hello.
Anyway, we'll move on from that shocking comment. But yeah, I can't believe someone would say that. But surely that would only like sort of motivate you to like continue to be successful. But yeah, in your personal life, it is that's a new one for me, and it's a shame really. But luckily, not luckily, that's the wrong thing to say. Rightly, the three of you are making a success of things, and like I said, long may it continue. So let's let me just push on with that a little bit more then. So you mentioned you've been fortunate to not have your opinions or views discredited because you're a woman in the professional world. So thinking about your fellow co-founders, who you've obviously got relationships with because you wouldn't decide to just start a company with two other random people.
Yeah.
Do you feel like what sort of, you know, perspectives do you think that you bring to your leadership team?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So I guess there's like sort of stereotypes with what women bring to business versus what men bring to business. I think women are often associated with being very, you know, maternal, emotional, all these kind of values, but I think it can be flipped into being actually really powerful. For example, I was reading something earlier about, I think it was like Harvard Business School or something, about women being like too weak to be leaders. And actually I think it's like, I can bring a kind of empathy and people skills and that kind of thing in terms of building relationships, and which is obviously when we're working with clients all the time, really, really powerful. I think I bring that skill, and I think I bring that into also when we're doing recruitment and hiring. I think being able to understand people, their motivations, what they want, really has really helped us, you know, hire 3 people so far, and will when we continue to grow as well. But I think that kind of human, maybe self-awareness as well, like that kind of being really aware of how other people will see what you're saying and listen to what you're saying, and that there's a couple of skills that I bring into the team. Yeah,
amazing. And then one I'm going to just spring on you, which I've just thought of now. how do you deal with disagreements in the team? Let's say you wanted to go down a specific avenue, but the other two didn't.
I think this is where it can be quite hard when you're friends with each other, because you have to have kind of uncomfortable conversations that you wouldn't usually have with a friend. I know I'm particularly not very good at confrontation. Like I don't really like causing, I guess not even drama, but I don't like rocking the boat so much. So I think it's kind of having to just talk it through. You know, if one of us has got a different opinion to the one, it's actually completely fine. We're never going to all agree on everything. You know, we're different people with different opinions and thoughts on things. So I think it's like, it's totally fine that we have those differences. I think we just got to talk about it. You got to communicate. And often actually we realize that we actually were thinking the same thing, but we're just approaching it in different ways. So I think just chatting things through. We've not had any massive fallouts yet. So maybe that'll continue though.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed you don't. but yeah, look, let's move on. And one of the things that I'm keen to hear from you on, and certainly learn from you, personally, because I'm really bad at it, but also I'm quite interested to learn about your time management. So you obviously would have had to switch from, you know, the corporate sort of model, the traditional 9-to-5, let's say, into now it's your business. This is you, basically, as well as the other two. When I say you, I mean all 3 of you.
Yeah.
How do you manage your workload now?
It's really, really hard. Like, I think it's harder actually than what I thought it would be. I think there's been like 2 kind of things, I guess, like the shift in terms of my role, because obviously I was PR lead at Rise. So I was managing a team of like 10 people and a lot of clients. And then going into starting my own business, I kind of had to split between being essentially a PR exec and actually doing the day-to-day work, because obviously a lot of the work that we're selling is PR. So I was going back to doing seeding list outreach, all of this kind of stuff that I've not done for a while. But also trying to think bigger and think about the business and running the business and how do we want the structure of the business to be. And I think I found it quite hard, and still, to be honest, still find it quite hard to do the work and also work on the business at the same time. I think I've been quite burnt out before in the past, and I'm really, really conscious of not going down that route again, because it's obviously super damaging. So I think I've been trying to be quite strict myself with boundaries, and kind of the 3 of us are actually quite good at that. Like, we don't really chat as much as we can outside of work. Obviously sometimes you have to, and that's the way it is, but we've been quite strict with ourselves about chatting and giving each other space when we need it. And I think now I've been able to obviously hire Lucy and Eve, who are our PR team. I'm able to take that shift back up again into more of a directing role rather than doing the day-to-day as much. Obviously, I'm still chipping in. But I think just kind of prioritising myself, what I actually need to be doing in that day, and actually, you know, at the end of the day, I need to be running the business as well, and giving myself the space to do that rather than being too much in the, you know, oh, we've not got a reactive PR story this week. It's kind of shifting that mindset a bit, which has been quite challenging, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. So... Yeah. Just thinking back to the title of this episode, one of the things that I definitely wanted to pick your brains on as well is there might be women watching or listening to this episode who are kind of on the fence. For example, they might be in the corporate sort of 9-to-5 and have been toying with the idea of potentially, you know, doing their own thing and flying the corporate nest, for example. Is there any advice that you'd give them? What advice would you give to people in that position, certainly women in that position who are kind of on the fence and looking at people like yourself who have made a fantastic success of it? What would you say to them?
I think just go for it, like just do it, because I think we spend so much time, like I said previously, like worrying about what could go wrong, what if, but like unless you do it, you, it sounds again so cringe, but like unless you do it, you don't know. And I think the worst thing is to look back maybe in 5 years and think I could have done that and could have been in this different place now, but I didn't because I was too scared. I think talk to other female founders. I think that's something that actually I need to do a lot more of, because you know, like we said before, there isn't loads and loads of female founders. So I think picking people that you would, you know, admire and you feel like you can learn from, talking to people, and just again backing yourself. I think just giving it a go. You know, the absolute worst thing that can happen is you do it and it doesn't work, and you move on. You'll do something different, and not being too scared. But I think yeah, talking to people is probably the biggest thing I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. And just going back to one of your answers earlier on, you mentioned that, you had that sort of imposter syndrome. And one of the things I wanted to just follow up there was for yourself personally. Firstly, do you still experience it now at the same level that you did before? And secondly, how did you sort of beat that or overcome that if you have?
I think it depends on the day and what I'm doing. Because I think I do still experience it, but probably less so than I did before. I think it's just about kind of rewiring the way I've been talking to myself. Like I have worked quite hard on it because I think it's something that is really prevalent. I think a lot of people do really struggle with it, and it can be quite it affects your day-to-day work if you don't, if you let it get too bad. So I'd say I probably still do deal with it. I think it's reminding yourself about what you've achieved. You know, I've literally written down what I've achieved so that I can, you know, if I'm having a minute where I'm like, oh God, I can't do this, I don't even know what is PR, I can like look at actually what all the campaigns I've run, all the people that I've, you know, really impacted their careers and that kind of thing, and be like, oh actually yeah, you know, I do know what I'm doing, like of course I do. And talking to other people again, I think it is really important too. Yeah, I think so.
Brill, love that. And we're talking a lot about obviously bottled imagination. So, and we are coming towards the end of the episode, but I couldn't not ask this question. What sets bottled imagination apart from others? And more importantly, how do you communicate that to clients or potential clients?
Yeah, so we're really trying to focus on kind of ideas. I think we've banged on about it quite a lot, but we're really trying to focus on the idea gen part of the PR process. I think we all know that PR is getting really saturated at the moment. There's loads and loads of PRs, less journalists, more their inboxes are really, really full. How do we get to the top of them? How do we make sure we're being seen? And it's all down to the idea. So we're really, really focusing on that beginning part of the process. You know, we've got a really robust idea gen kind of strategy and process. So we're getting to the point where we're able to kind of prove the idea will work. We're trying some new techniques with outreach that I can't talk to you about right now, but they will hopefully be paying off soon. And then you'll see them come out. And also kind of, I guess the way we're communicating things to clients, we really want to be showing value. I think, you know, it's more than just links. We're wanting to create things that the client's really proud of, and we're working collaboratively together. So I don't know if you've spent very much time on the site, but we've kind of made it like an e-com
Yeah, I've seen that.
platform. So we've got three different packages, and these are kind of tailored to what the client wants. So we've got pure, planned, and full. So pure is just links. We'll talk to the client, and if they're going, you know, we just want links, but we delve deeper, and they're like, oh, we actually want sales and leads from organic search. We're like, okay, actually, planned is what you want. That's got more of a search strategy. It's got an opportunity analysis. And then if they're like, okay, we just want to do billboards, we want to do social, we want to do all this stuff, but underpinned by PR, then we're pushing towards full. So the way we've kind of packaged that up just makes it quite easy to communicate. And that's something that I think is a bit different to what other agencies are doing at the moment.
Brill, love that, and I strongly recommend listeners and viewers to check out the website. I remember when you launched, I was like, yeah, I've not seen anything like this.
Yeah,
This
it's
is
cool.
quality. I'll definitely have a link in the show notes. Followed, of course,
Thank
because that's what
you.
we all want. And the very last thing that I wanted to ask before you share your contact details is as much as you can share, so no pressure, but what does it, God, it feels like a job interview now. What does the next what does the next like 12 months, 3 years, 5 years, what's the future in an ideal world? Let's say 5 years time, you're looking back, what were you achieved?
Really good work. Like, I just want to do really good. I know obviously there's business goals as well, which we can't talk about, but I think like we really want to do good work. I want to do work that we're proud of, that the client's proud of, that the team are really happy with working on, and also build a team that everyone's really happy and is kind of thriving. You know, we want to grow the agency in terms of headcount. Not desperate to be absolutely massive, but I think if we can grow the team in the next year to, I don't know, like 30 people would be wild. I think I'm just really keen to grow the agency, but just not lose sight of why we did it in the first place and make sure, you know, we're always adhering to that. And everything we do is kind of sticking with our values. And yeah, we're all really proud of what we've grown.
Love that. What a nice way to approach the end of the episode, I should say. This has been brilliant. But before you go, if there are people watching or listening to this who want to connect with you, your co-founders, check out more about the business, where can they find you?
Yeah, so business-wise, Bold Imagination on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, and then me personally, Twitter, Katie V. Powell, or LinkedIn, just search my name and I'll pop up.
Amazing. Do remind me, and I'll shove all those links in the show notes. And before I end the episode, on recording, an apology for not saying hello sooner at conferences, because I really enjoyed this conversation. I just think we could have had many more conversations like this at all those events. So we'll fix that moving forward. But yeah, no, I've really, really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for taking out the time. Yes, I can imagine how busy yourself, all three of you, would be. So I really, really appreciate this. And yeah, look, that's it. Thanks very much for listening, watching. Please do like, rate, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And then go in your car, or if you haven't got a car, jump in an Uber, go four streets down, knock on a random door and be like, have you listened to this podcast, before they call the police? One extra listener, I will take it. This is where I shut up now. Thanks very much for listening. I will see you on the next episode.